So, Brother Darius, Acts 20 and 36. We're going to do a quick review, and then we're going to dive really deep. Not complicated, but deep. Amen? So, as we put this all in context, remember, we've been on the Good Shepherd, what a good shepherd is and what a good shepherd isn't. We're on the I am statements. We've done I am the bread of life, which was incredible. And then we did I am the light of the world, which is even more incredible. And now we're on the Good Shepherd. And oh my gosh, as you dig deep into the word, it just comes alive. And we're talking about the Good Shepherd, what a good shepherd is and what it isn't. And so at verse 36, we got to Paul as he's praying with the congregation in verse 36 and says, when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and he prayed with them all. So make a note that this is the leaders. This is the leaders. This is the elders of the church at Ephesus, which is in Turkey. Amen. So Paul's in Turkey. He's praying with the leadership. And sometimes you take things for granted, but I looked up the word prayer. Amen. So make a note that this word prayer in verse 36, when it said he knelt down and he prayed, it means supplication and it means to worship. Whoa. So he knelt down and they prayed and they worshiped God. They asked God for certain things and they worshiped God. So we know that worship God is when we acknowledge God for who he is. Like we have in 1 Chronicles, I think it's 29:10 or 1 Chronicles 29:11, where David says, you are the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Everything that's in heaven and earth is yours. You reign over all and you're over all. Riches and honor come from you, God. You are all in all. That's worshiping God. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. So when you pray, you make sure that you're worshiping God as well. You're not just asking, you're worshiping God for who he is. So Paul said that he knelt down, they prayed together, they asked for things, and they worshiped God. So those are two, one, and the same in that word prayer. They asked and they worshiped. So it's not just asking, but it's asking and worshiping. So then we tried to figure out what was Paul's history with prayer. And so then that took us, if you would, turn to Acts 16 and 25. Amen. 16 and 25. And this is Paul and Silas. If you there, say amen. Amen. And it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, they did what? Praise. They prayed and sang praises. Prayer, same word. So they asked God and they worshiped God. And they sung praises. They added the praises to it. Oh, my gosh. So, family, in our quiet time each morning, our praying and fasting time, we're asking God, we're worshiping God, and then sing those praises as well. Sing those praises as well. Make a note. As I looked at it, it said the praises, when you look it up in the Greek, it talks about hymns. It talked about Psalms 113 through 118 and Psalms 136. So look at Psalms 130. I'm not going to get deep into this. This is a whole nother message for another time, but I just want to give you an idea of what it looks like, what they're talking about. Was it, did I say Psalms 136? So this is what Paul and Silas, when they were praying and worshiping, asking God, thanking God for, and acknowledging God for who he is. You at Psalms 136, 1. If you dare, say amen. Amen. So some kind of way in the midst of their bondage, in the midst of their struggles, somebody say amen. Somebody's going to get this. In the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your bondage, because you're working for God and things aren't going right, they're asking God, they're worshiping God for who he is, and they're saying something like this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Oh, give thanks, verse 2, unto the Lord of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. If I could sing, I would sing this. Somebody say amen, because I remember singing songs just like this. In the midst of their struggle, when they're in prison, when they're locked up for sharing the gospel, when they're in bondage, when they're at their lowest point, they're able to say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, the big G over the little G's, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. And then look at Psalms 113, because this is where it went through 113 to 118. I can't get into too much of this because we're not going to be able to finish the message. We start praising and worshiping like this. Somebody say amen. Amen. 113:1, praise ye the Lord. Praise all you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. Yes. Put it in context. They are in prison. For serving the Lord, not just prison, they're in the inner prison, whatever that is. And they're shackled. And they've been beat. And they're praising and worshiping and praying. Look at Psalms 116:1. They're singing something like this. I love the Lord. Because he's heard my voice and my supplications. They're singing this. Psalms 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. I remember singing a song like that. And you can sing it in the best of times, but it's something special when you can sing it at your lowest point. So Paul, he's told them in Acts 20 how the savage wolves are going to come in. He's been crying day and night for 3 years. And he's telling them about the power of prayer because he experienced it in Acts chapter 16. Let's go back there, Darius, 16 and 25. So he's not telling them something he hasn't experienced. He's saying, let's pray because I know that God shakes things up. Look, take it to 26. Oh, remember, it's a public prayer because people were listening to them. So what do you do when you're in the worst of times? You pray publicly. Remember, I'll say it again. The more I pray, the less I complain. Amen. In the worst times, you want to start complaining. I guarantee you, the more you pray and you praise and you worship and you thank God, when it takes the focus off of you. Isn't that what we're talking about in the men's meeting this morning? It takes the focus off of you and it puts it on God. Right. And you're talking about, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, God, but I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. My kids are acting crazy. Everything's falling apart. I just got a pink slip. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for he is, I can sing a little bit, just very little, all right? But I remember those songs. Oh, family, I hope somebody's getting this morning. Amen. It's nothing to complain about. In verse 2, we see how God has, verse 26, and suddenly there was an earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So we're praying for a shakeup. That shakeup could be you getting laid off because God's been trying to get you out of that deadbeat job that's holding you back. He's shaking it up so you can go. Instead of giving thanks, you're complaining and talking about people. All right, so let's go just a little bit deeper. I'm trying to figure out Paul, right? So this is the context of Paul. So I'm trying to figure out, what does Paul know about prayer? What is Paul's attitude on prayer? And we see that he's praying all time. So then it takes me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. all your T's are together. You get the Timothy and Titus and Thessalonians, so that's the way I always remember it. And so, family, I was just trying to stay focused, but I went way off road with this one. First Thessalonians. So I wanted to go just to 5 and 16, but I couldn't. I couldn't. I had to, 5 and 17, where it says pray without ceasing. And can I tell you that word pray is the same word. Same word that's in Acts, which is worship, and supplication. Same thing right here. Worship God and pray and ask without stopping. Praise the Lord. Give thanks without stopping, family. All right, so then look at, but I had to go up to 16. Darius, take us to verse 16, where it says, rejoice evermore. St. Paul, family, St. Paul that's in the inner jail. Now he's talking to the church at Thessalonica. He talked to the church at Thessalonica. He talks to the church at Ephesus. He gives the same message. God is talking to the Thessalonians. He's talking to the Greeks. He's talking to the Romans. He's talking to the Ephesians, which are the Turks. Those of us that were fortunate enough, we know that Ephesus was over here in Turkey. Thessalonica was over here in Greece. Paul was taking these little rickety ships. We were on a cruise ship. Somebody say amen. Amen. And here's Paul saying, you still need to rejoice evermore. Amen. And that word rejoice means to be glad, to be thankful, to be grateful. And it says forevermore, and it's evermore means at all times, always. Oh my gosh. Hey, I'm reading this. I'm going, Lord, you got to be kidding me. I'm supposed to rejoice at all times? What's the word? Commonly, it says, I like this word. So in the Greek, rejoice means to be calmly happy. Amen? Amen. Things are falling apart, Sister Tara. You're supposed to be, I'm good and happy. You're supposed to remain calm and be happy. I'm just telling you what the word. So I'm like, are you serious? Yes. Sister Charlene, to remain calm and be happy at all times. Well, Paul, what do you know? Remember, Paul was in jail. He was in the inner prison, and he was praising, he was praying, and he was giving thanks, and boom, he shook things up through the power of God. God shook things up. So Paul's not telling you. Paul's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. He tells us that all things work together for good. Why? Because of God. God's working it out. So he's telling them in verse 16, he says, be calmly happy at all times. It's the attitude of prayer. Wow. Why? Look at verse 17. And he says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop praising. Don't stop asking for God. And remain happy, calmly, all the time. Look what he says. In everything, give thanks. Are we at verse 18? In everything, give thanks. And give thanks was one word in the Greek, and it says to be grateful. Ha! Woo! Hey! I know y'all struggling because I was struggling with it. I ain't gonna even try and pretend. Said in everything. I looked up everything too. Right? Oh, and it did mean everything, but it also broke it down a little bit. So let's read it with the translation. It says, in everything give thanks. In the translation, it says, in all things be grateful. We could go home now and just practice that. Amen. Hey, God, I'm overloaded already. My mind is blown just with that. in all things. Be grateful. Why? Because for this is the will, this is the wish, the plan of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that in everything, all things, you're grateful to give thanks. Because of God, not because of ourselves, not because of our circumstances, but because of God. Oh, then he says, verse 19, quench not the spirit. Say, so you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but don't quench it. It means to, let me see, I wrote it out. It means to extinguish or to suppress or to stifle. Okay, so he says, give thanks, rejoice. Then the Holy Spirit is trying to remind you of that, right? You're supposed to be grateful. Your kid's acting up. You're supposed to be grateful. Just like supposed, and you choking the Holy Spirit. You got in the stranglehold. He said, no, don't do that. You're going to kill the spirit. Don't quench it. That's what it means. You're choking it. No, I'm not. Or it means to extinguish. You throw the bucket of water on it. And the spirit is trying to say, hey, man, start rejoicing. You just say, man, I ain't listening to you. Whoosh. And you extinguish the spirit. And since the spirit is gone, then I got to operate in the flesh. And so now I go operate according to my flesh, as opposed to rejoicing and being thankful and finding those psalms and finding those praise words. And let God shake things up. I choke the spirit out. I stifle it. I say, no, we used to call it this for you. An illustration. We used to say, keep the old man in the basement, the old person. Right. So, you know, the old man's trying to come out the basement, and you just open it and it's quenching the spirit. You say, hey, come on out, man. I need you right now. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to quench the spirit. I'm letting you out so I can take over. Keep the old man in the basement. When you let the old person out of the basement, you quenching the spirit. The spirit is trying to say, no. Let me handle them. You tell them, no, you know. Let me handle the spirit. Say, let me handle it. He's like, no, you know, I got this one. You. Suppress him, choke the life out of you so the flesh can live. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. It's saying, don't neglect the prophecies of God. Amen. God said these things must come to pass. Christ said he's coming back for us. Oh, he ain't coming back. I'm going to live any kind of way I want to live in. I ain't worried about God. No, he's saying, you better listen to what's been foretold by God, that in the last days, many false prophets will arise. Oh, man, I don't believe in that. He says, despise not. God has told us what to expect. We're to take heed to that. Let's see, we're doing pretty good on time. So let me show you this, because we kind of talked about it in the men's meeting. But when you say quenching the spirit, right? Let me give you an illustration. Let's go to, and we'll come right back to this. Did I tell you I'm all over the place today? I did tell you that. Look at Jeremiah. Where's Jeremiah? I got my notes on top of my notes. Which Jeremiah? I think it's Jeremiah 20:9. And we're talking about quenching the spirit. Oh, Jeremiah was having a huge pity party, y'all. Jeremiah was having a huge. Oh, well, let's put it in proper context. Let's go to Jeremiah 1 first, and then we'll go to 20, just so we have it in context, right? Is that all right, family? All right. So we're still talking about quenching the spirit, but let's lay the foundation for so many things. God's word is just so powerful. Jeremiah 1:4, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is God talking to Jeremiah. God says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. So you put a star by that. And that's God talking to us through our ups and downs, our struggles. God said, before you was born, I knew you. In Psalms, he says it like this: before you were anything, I made you something. Yes. Before you were anything, you already something. Oh, my God. Remember that, youngsters, because the world tries to tell you you need something to be something. God says, no, that's not. That's the world's logic. God says, my truth is, before you was anything, I already made you something. Same thing with Adam and Eve. The Satan told them, you're going to be like God, but they were already like God because they were made in his image. He convinced them that they needed something else to be like God when they were already like God. The world's trying to convince you because it's the satanic influence that you need something else to be something, where God's already said, before you were anything, you're already something. Amen. So he's telling Jeremiah this. I'm setting it up because Jeremiah's getting ready to have this huge pity party. But you got to get to the foundation. God came to him and said, before I put you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I'd already set you apart. And I'd already ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Then verse 6, he says, oh, Lord, God, behold, I can't even speak. I'm just a child, because Jeremiah was a youth. So youth, don't tell me you're too young to talk and work for God, because you're not. Family, we all feel inadequate because we don't think we can speak up. But God says, I already made you something. Family, it comes to the point, you just got to trust God. You got to trust, and you can't, it's just like in life, you can't listen to the haters and the naysayers. You tell a hater your dream, they're going to shoot you down so fast. Oh, man, you ain't going to be nothing. And see, then the toughest thing with God is not necessarily the haters. We hate on ourselves. He told Jeremiah said, I can't even speak. How I'm going to speak for you, God? I can't even speak for myself. But God said, I made you something before you were something. So, all right, so let's go to, so let's fast forward. In the midst of the struggle, somebody say amen. Amen. Jeremiah wants to forget all that. Family, don't forget what God has told you and what he's called you. God's not changing his mind. I don't want to unpack this now, but let's just look at verse 7. Oh, Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. He's trying to say, God, you set me up. You weren't honest with me. He said, I'm being clowned daily and everyone is laughing at me. All right, so I'm not going to unpack that. That's not where I'm trying to go. But I just want to let you know the pity party that he's having. He's telling God, God, you lied to me. You told me, you called me. He's like, no, everybody's laughing at me, this, that, the other. But here's where I want to get to. Verse 9 was when he was quenching the spirit. That's where I was trying to go, still with the theme of quenching the spirit. He said, then I said, I will not make mention of God. I'm not going to say I ain't going to say nothing about God ever again. All these folks on my job laughing at me. All these kids at school calling me a Jesus freak and talking about me and making me feel bad. He said, I ain't saying nothing else about God ever. My family members clowning me when I come over. They start hiding a drink. Here come the reverend. Here come this. Here come that. Put it away. Here comes the reverend. Hey, praise the Lord, brother. Family clowning. You know what? I ain't going to say nothing no more. I'm just, God, I'm sick of it. And Jeremiah tried to quench. He said, I'm going to quench the spirit. I'm not going to say anything. Verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I ain't saying nothing about God. I ain't speaking in God's name. I'm done with it. Come on, family. He said, but his word was in my heart. Come on now. As a burning fire shut up in my bone, his word, I couldn't quench the spirit any longer. And I got so tired of trying to quench the spirit. And I could not endure. I had to start speaking up for God again. So let's go back to Thessalonians and finish this up. Jeremiah said that word was like fire shut up in my bones. We've been there. We can run from God. We can hide from God. But some kind of way, I'm just not comfortable with this anymore. And the word of God, since it's in my heart, it just comes through my bones. Gotta share it. I'm weary with trying not to, and I just can't. I can't keep up this charade. I have to be who God's called me to be. I have to share the word. I have to speak up on behalf of God, regardless of how much I'm getting clowned and people are making fun of me and mocking me. I gotta speak up for God. All right, let's go back to Thessalonians and finish it up for today. And then we will pick it up next week. Amen. If you are at 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, say amen. It's talking about not quenching the spirit. Jeremiah thought he could quench it. But couldn't. It's been times you want to quench it. You want to extinguish it. You want to choke it out. You want to suppress it. But then you get tired. Okay, right? You say, okay, Lord. I surrender again. I surrender again. God, you're in my heart. You're all the way in my bones. Can't pretend like you don't exist. All right, so here we go. We talked about despise not the prophesying. Verse 21 says, test and examine all things and hold fast to that which is good. So we got to examine, we got to test all things. This is Paul's formula for that grateful life, for that blessed life, the abundant life. Here's the heart. In verse 22, it said, abstain from all appearances of evil. Well, I didn't do nothing, but if it looks like it wasn't cool, Paul said, that's how you eliminate drama. Somebody say amen. You know, I just went over there to deliver some Girl Scout cookies. Mm-hmm. But your car was there all night, though. Oh, well, then, my battery was dead, so I got to ride home. They said, man, come on, man. It can't even look like. It shouldn't even look like you into something you're not supposed to be into. Amen. Say, appear all. Is shoe, stay away from all appearance of evil. You and your computer and your spouse or your kids walk into the room and you close the laptop. Hey, what y'all want? Dad, you all right, Dad? Dad, something didn't, I'm not saying you're doing anything, Dad, but something just didn't. This didn't look right. It's not even supposed to look like it's not cool. That's what Paul says. It eliminates the drama. Keeps me from getting caught up. Hey, I'm telling you, it helps in all aspects of life. Hey, I got taught early when I was a teacher, all right? You are never in the classroom with a student alone. If it's just you and one student, you are never in that classroom alone. All right. And I was just helping her, you know, with some, I was helping him, come on now. I was just helping the kid with some, you know, some fractions. In the room with the door closed? Yeah, that's all I was, you setting yourself up. It don't look right. It don't even look right. Right? You absolutely, all you doing is 1/4 plus 1/4 equals 2/8 and 1. I don't know. We're not good at math. So y'all don't know either. So we ain't gonna even worry about what it equals, right? But that's all you doing. But then the kid come out, somebody say, who else is it? No, it was just, ooh. And they say, if it is, then if a kid's in the room, I'm standing in the door. While they're there, you go get your books, and then I'm not in there with you. But then the guy, he was kind of crazy, did tell me, now if you get into a fight with a kid, just say he hit you first. Okay? I'm like, man, I ain't gonna be fighting no kid. So I hope not. Anyway. I didn't take that advice, Kathy, because I ain't gonna be fighting no kid. I ain't trying to lose my job. I got the mic on, so I'm gonna leave it right there. Okay? I see you after school, right? Paul says, just stay away if it don't look right. Family, that's all I can tell you. You know, it's tough. We're working out at the gym. Somebody say hi, you say this, you say that. It's like, then one of your partners come up or somebody and, hey, what's going on? Oh, no, I was just showing her how to, okay, I'm just, I sure don't. That sure didn't look right. You showing that? You shouldn't be showing that anything. Okay? You shouldn't. You should have told her go ask the trainer. You shouldn't be showing her anything. The way that looks, you shouldn't be. That don't look right. Okay, I'm gonna leave that one alone. All right? Amen. You got it? If it don't look right, You're on your job and it don't look right. You know, you on your break and you're taking an hour when you should just take 30 minutes. It don't look right. Well, they don't check. It doesn't look right. It's destroying your witness. Paul says, after you do all that, then we get to verse 23. And the very God of peace, underline that, we serve a God of peace. Oh, I love this part. He says he sets you apart totally. You and I are set apart totally. And then here's Paul again, that same word, I'm praying. I'm praying for you. I'm supplicating. I'm worshiping God for you, for your whole spirit, underline, spirit, soul, and body be guarded, be blameless until Jesus Christ comes back. Make a note, the spirit is the Holy Spirit that lives within us, which is separate from the soul. The soul is the part of us that doesn't dissolve upon death. That's the part that goes to heaven with God or into hell, separated from God because we didn't receive the free gift that God had for us. Holy Spirit, the soul, and then your body. Paul said, I'm praying for all three. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm praying for all three. I don't want any of those to be lost. I want them to be guarded without blame. And by following this formula that he gave us from verse 16 to 22 is how the God of peace guards that and sanctifies that. So we're without blame until Christ comes back. And that's how we live a life, not to be saved, but because we are saved. So Paul's praying for all of us, every part of that. And you can say the soul is a part of the mind as well. Your mind, your body, your spirit, it's your soul. And as we're parents, and we can't get weary in teaching our kids. We talked about it, I think it was last week, how we're going to teach them. And we're going to, even when they're not feeling it, we're going to continue to teach them. The world only wants to teach your body and your mind. They don't want to teach about the spirit or the soul. But as Christian parents, overseers, shepherds, remember, we're all shepherds, we're all overseers. You have to teach your kid about their soul, about their spirit, about their body, and about their relationship to Jesus Christ. And as they get older, if they want to go and only feed into the flesh, right? And the mind and get educated in ignorance. You can get a degree in ignorance. I'm not, trust me, you can. There's many of them out there got a degree in ignorance. But that soul and that spirit is lacking. And family, as we're praying for our children, our minor children, our adult children, we're praying for all three. Because if you're not balanced and solid and they're not guarded, then you're out there and it's a big mess. So we're praying for all three. Verse 24 says faithful. Word faithful, trustworthy. That's what trustworthy. God is, you can trust God. Trustworthy is he that calls you, who also will do it. Isn't it? So Paul is saying, I'm giving you all these requirements. I'm giving you this formula. I'm praying for you. But then just understand that you can trust God. So you don't have, we don't have to be all burdened down and no, because God is faithful. God is trustworthy and he will do it. That's why we cast all our cares upon God, because he cares for us. Stop doing all the heavy lifting. We've been carrying around stuff we're not meant to carry. Remember, it comes a time where we're not preaching so much as we are praying. And we're trusting God to get it done. Whether that's your job, whether that's your kids, whether that's your business, whether it's your ministry, whether it's a calling on your life, it comes to a point where you just got to trust God with it. Stop carrying all this stuff. We breaking down every day because we carrying stuff we're not supposed to carry. God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
God is trust. God can be trusted. He called you, and he's going to do it. Man, somebody say amen. That's the best news. Hey, there's been a lot of good news in this message this morning. That's some of the best news right there. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. You're not going to see it. You're not supposed to see it because you have to trust God. If you could see it, then you wouldn't have to trust God. Then you could trust yourself. But it requires us, family, I'm telling you, every morning, every day, we're getting on our knees. We're worshiping. We're praying. We're praising. Make a note, Psalms 113 through 118, and I believe it was Psalms 136. So add those to your list. Just a few verses, not the whole thing, but just go through it. Start your day giving thanks to the Lord. It changes everything. I'm not worried about anything. The job, the this, the that. Man, God, you do whatever you want to do because you might come back any day or you could call me home at any minute. So I'm not worried about it. And that's how you experience the abundant life that God has. You're not living reckless. You're being a good steward of what God has for you, but you're not really worried about this stuff. Because we know the only thing we take to heaven is other people. Amen. And this stuff, man, it's all a mirage. We appreciate, we enjoy, but we worship God only. Then here's Paul again. I love Paul. Man, as I'm just studying Paul, he says, brethren, pray for us. That same word. Go to God. Come on, somebody. Hey, pray for me. Amen. Pray for me, family, right? And have many of you come up, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Hey, thank you. Supplicate for me and worship God. As you're supplicating on my behalf, worship the God who's the King of Kings. Says, greet all brethren. Now he gets to how do we treat each other. Greet all brethren with the holy kiss. Somebody say amen. So let us know when you have a code because we don't want a holy code. Amen. All right. We want a holy kiss. Sister Kathy, thanks for letting me know. That's right. We need to greet each other with that holy kiss. Look at, he says, here's our charge. He says, I charge you by the Lord that this letter be read unto all the holy brethren. That's why I got to read it to y'all. Amen? Amen. So you take this letter and you let them know how to live this thing. Gosh, take the letter, take the word and tell people how to live by it. That's why we're saying this morning, folks don't want to read the word because it's so powerful. They don't want to live by the word. So I try and ignore the word. Then he says, the grace, the loving kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What a letter. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's why Paul's in when he's praying with them. So we saw him in Thessalonica. We saw him in Ephesus. And we're going to see him with the Roman or the Greek guard. Just shows you got Thessalonians, you got Greeks, you got Turks, you got Romans. God doesn't discriminate. Can somebody say amen? Amen. God doesn't discriminate. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, let's go back to Acts. Acts 16. We touched on this last week. 16 and let's look at 26 and 27. 16:26. If you there, say amen. Amen. Suddenly there was a great earthquake right after they prayed and sang praises and worshiped God. God's shaking things up in the spirit, family. That's why, let me say this again. When you're in the morning and you're spending that 10 minutes, or that however that 5 minutes, I'm telling you, just commit it to God. God's shaking, before you even get there, God has already shaken things up. He's given you favor. He's given you grace. He's given you traveling grace and a parking space. Somebody say amen. Pray specifically. Right? Why? I said it before. I'm not just praying for a traveling grace. I need a parking space when I get there, too. I'm praying specifically. God shakes it up. You get there, and how is that parking space right there? Because God shakes it up. It's every little thing. Every little, God, I'm praying every little thing. I don't know what y'all are doing in the morning, but I'm specific and I'm praying. Y'all say I'm crazy. I'm trusting God. You see the results of that, and that's why Paul's praying with them, with the leaders of the church of Ephesus right before he leaves. He experienced it. Suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. God's given me some really good revelation on that. But that's where we got to pick it up next week. Amen. Next week. I'll just give you a hint that when you in despair and you ready to take yourself out, it's because you don't trust God. That's and we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that. But he had no relationship with God. What else do I do? I got to get out of here. I got to kill myself. Oh, no, not quite. What did Paul just say? They were at their worst point. And what did they do? They gave thanks. Somebody say amen. Big difference. Darius, take us to 1 Corinthians 11 and 23 as we prepare for communion. As we celebrate our Lord and Savior who resurrected so that we could have life and that more abundantly. How on the night when Christ was betrayed, and here's Paul telling the story. Paul learned this from Christ too. The night in which he was betrayed, he gave thanks. Right? You're being betrayed. You're going to be killed the next day, but he's able to give thanks. That's why Paul is in the inner prison, and what is he doing? He's giving thanks. Because he knows that God's going to work it out for his good. The toughest situation, family, God works it out for our good. We trust God because God is faithful. He's trustworthy. It says if we confess our sins, God is faithful. He's trustworthy. You can trust God to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So family, when God forgives you, you don't have to walk around in guilt and shame of what you did. That's the enemy who wants you to walk around in guilt, shame, unworthiness. The scripture is very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior. That's why Christ died on the cross for us. To be the substitute, the propitiation. So we didn't have to die and go to hell. He died for us. We have an option now. So we take communion as a remembrance. Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. Puts our life back in biblical perspective. Communion does. The Sabbath day does. The Jews still participate in the Sabbath to this day, 5,000 years plus. They still pause everything from 5:30 Friday to 5:30 Saturday because God told them to. So they always remember what God has done. The Christian church has taken communion for 2,020 years. So we remember what Christ did for us. So we pause and know that it's more to life than the upcoming election. Somebody say amen. It's more to life than that job that I have. It's more to life than my bank account that I don't have. It's more to life than just the issues in my house. It's more to life than the success I experience in my business. Can rise to the top. Without Christ, you gain the world and lose your soul. Christ made it clear a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. That's not what life is about. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't you ever forget I'm coming back for you. Don't you ever forget that I died on that cross for you. Don't let this world get you all confused with these false prophets and this man-made tradition. God says, don't ever forget. And that's why we stop and we pause and we take communion. So we won't forget. To put our life back in biblical perspective. On the night in which he was betrayed, Christ gave thanks and he broke bread. He told him to eat, do this in remembrance of me. Say you do show the Lord's death until he comes again. It's one of the prophecies we have. Remember, the word says, despise not the prophecy. We take communion because it shows his death until he comes again. He's coming back. Despise it not. Rejoice in it because Christ is coming back. Embrace the prophecy. He died for us and he's coming back. And remember, he's not going to be the little lamb. He's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. There will be a great separation. Said, remember me. Remember, I got you covered. I'm trustworthy. I love you. I see you. I haven't forgotten you. I'm there for you. Keep trusting me. I'm coming back for you. Remember that. Go on and elevate that which represents his body, which was broken and beat for us. A physical price had to be paid so we could be free. Remember that. It's how much God loves us. Remember that. He's not out to prove his love. He's already proved it. He already died for us. It's already been proven. And Lord, we thank you that you were beat so we don't have to be. And that by your stripes we are healed, rescued, death, hell, sin, and the grave. Because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, resurrected on that third day, tells us to forgive. So Lord, right now, anybody we're holding or got ought against because they did us wrong, we got to forgive them. Because God, we did you wrong. And you were innocent. So God, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our anger and our hate towards others. God, we confess it, we forsake it. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Don't let us quench the Spirit. Fill us with the Spirit so we can do so much better being a witness for you. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. The book of Leviticus says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Something has to die for something else to live. Some blood had to be shed so we could be covered. The cleansing blood of Christ, because our blood is tainted with the sin of Adam. We needed the second Adam, which is Christ, to live a sinful, sinless life and die for us so that we can be free. To make it plain, we couldn't get clean in dirty bath water. So Christ had to die and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because of the joy that was set before Christ, because he could see this moment right here with us saying, thank you, Lord, we love you. Thank you for rescuing and saving us. Because of the joy that was set before Christ, he endured the cross. to see us come to Christ. He endured the cross to bring us back to God. And Lord, we thank you for that, for shedding your blood so we could be free. Bless your people. Bless this communion time. We love you for it, Lord. We're ever so grateful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood.